be in the house of the Lord. Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to give honor to God and thank God for my first lady as well, my wife as well. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the leadership of this house and Pastor Jackson here. We thank God for 20 years of ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Appreciation month is not just one month. You're supposed to appreciate your man of God while you have a man of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for the prophet as well. Also the deacons in the house, the ushers as well. All those that are serving in the house of God here this evening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's an honor to be here in the house of the Lord today for the anniversary. Amen.
Amen.
124 years.
Yes, sir.
As a powerful testimony.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
So we thank God. We kind of the privilege to be here. But I don't go just anywhere for the sake of going.
Thank you.
So I thank God for the Lord sending me this way and give me a word for this house at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 9 today. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be reading for the New King, whatever. As long as you got the Bible in front of your book, we're going to make it work. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the New King James Version. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Affected by an experience to change.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm in Acts chapter 9 again. Read verses 1 through 9 for you. Thank you, Lord. When everyone's there, give me a good amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any who were in the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone round him from heaven. Then he fell down to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads or kick against the bricks." So he trembled and astonished said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground with his eyes open, and he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight,
and neither
ate nor drank.
Mama.
Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for the anointing on your word, the power that's on your word. Thank you for all that are assembled here today in this room. We thank you for divine appointments, God, that have been set and met at this moment. We couldn't be anywhere else other than where you wanted us to be today. We thank you for this word being in season and on time. Thank you, Father, for those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church at this moment, God. We thank you, Father, for what you've done, Father, in praise and worship already, Father, and the welcoming in this house, dear Lord, and the fellowship even beforehand. But we thank you, Father, now for the bread of life, dear Lord. We ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us to all the truth that's in your word, Father, that we might not be in error. Father, help us at this moment, dear Lord, to articulate and bring about out of the text what you feel is necessary for us, our development, Father, our future, Father. We thank you that no weapon formed shall ever prosper. We come against any entering spirit that will come against the word being released in this house upon good ground. Lord, we give you all the honor.
All the honor.
We give you all the praise.
All the praise.
In Jesus' holy name.
In Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I feel better already. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your hospitality, allowing us to be here and fellowship with you today. Your pastor shot me a message and called me and told me, gave me an invitation to be here and told me the theme of it. And when he told me the theme of it, I was immediately led to this passage of scripture. So I knew where I needed to be in terms of today and what I needed to share. If I'm going to title the sermon for you today, it's the title of this is going to be, is it time for a change?
All right.
That it's time for a change. Right. It's also even happening now in the community, it's happening now in the nation, that it's indeed time for a change. We're seeing change in churches, we're seeing change in leadership, we're seeing change in government, we're seeing change everywhere. So evidently it is indeed time for a change. But in the theme, it says you got to be affected by something.
Huh?
An experience.
Come on now.
That would then bring about the change that you're looking for. Thank you, Lord. Because there's some people will say that they changed and have not.
My God.
And so you got to know within yourself. You got to be discerning people. You got to pick up, you know, just some things are taught and some things are caught. You just got to catch certain things that people are saying and what they're not saying. When we look at Saul's life, we read from chapter 9. His story starts at the end of chapter 7 for you to understand why the change came about in his life. It started at the end of chapter 7 where Saul is standing around some other men that had picked up stones to go after Stephen. Chapter 7, Stephen is preaching up a fit. And the Bible says that the heavens opened and Jesus stood up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand. And rather than seated, he saw him standing for him, as if to give him an ovation for the work that he was doing. He was standing for Stephen because Stephen was standing for him. And these people did not like the fact that he was standing for God. And they picked up stones and the Bible said they ran towards Stephen. And in the process of running towards Stephen, him and the Lord had this connection where he didn't feel anything, but they picked up stones. And before they picked the stones up, they took their clothes off and they threw them on a young man named Saul. So at the time that Stephen is connected with Jesus, we also see on the earth an impartation that was happening that was not godly, that was placed on Saul. That the religious people of that time were not pleased with what Stephen was saying. Because Stephen was preaching change.
Come on now.
And they were comfortable in where they were, and they didn't like the fact that they would then have to change, and they picked up stones to stone him. But before they did that, they took their clothes off and they threw them at the feet of Saul. And so Saul, at the end of chapter 7, is dealing with trauma. It matters how you're raised.
That's right.
It matters how you've been brought up. It matters who you're around. Not only when you were young, but also when you're older, who you're hanging with even now.
Exactly.
And so we see what's happening with Saul in his life is that he went through a traumatic situation at the time when he was very young, that he saw a man of God being stoned by other people claiming that they were men of God.
Wow.
That it's rough when we see anointed people fighting against anointed people. But we think are anointed people fighting against anointed people. We see within the text, they weren't anointed at all.
Right.
They were religious people. They were sick of what he was saying. And they stoned him right in front of this young man. And this young man caught all their coats that were underneath of him. And so at the same time, he was catching their spirit at the same time just by being around them.
Yes.
So because again, it matters who you're around. And because it matters who you're around, because what's on them potentially can be on you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we understand when it comes to circles, when it comes to a group of people, we got to be selective who we're around. And the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. But that also works in a negative connotation, too, because it works on the other side of the coin, too. If they're trained up wrong, they're brought to be wrong.
That's right.
He saw this when he was young. He saw the murder of a man of God by people pretending to be men of God. And that would then govern his life at the end of chapter 7. That's trauma. Before we can get to the change, you have to first deal with the trauma. That's the trauma that he's dealing with from the time that he's very young. That he's seeing murder happen and people being pleased with the murder that took place.
My God.
At the beginning of chapter 8, the Bible says in chapter 8, now Saul is traveling. He had trauma in chapter 7. Now he's traveling with the trauma in chapter 8. Chapter 8, now he's traveling with the trauma. Now, he said at the beginning of chapter 8, he said he was pleased. He was pleased at the death of Stephen. He was pleased by it. So he's thinking that he's doing right, but he's actually living wrong. But the trauma has blinded his eyes so he can't see straight. So what appears to be right is actually wrong. What appears to be wrong is actually right. So he's messed up at what he saw from the time he was very young. So we can't just introduce anything to our children when they're young. Please. Amen to me again. So you got to be careful when it comes to children, when you raise up your children. Again, I don't know why I got to go back around the corner, but I felt like I need to go back one second. Because you got to be careful who you bring your children around. That's not just a school thing. That's sometimes a family thing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, because not everybody living like you at home.
Right.
Yes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, but maybe your auntie ain't serving God. Maybe your uncle ain't serving God, and your children hanging out over there, and they smoking and drinking and everything else over there. And then you got to retrain your children every time they come back home because they've been over there. You got to be careful and selective. It don't mean I don't love you, but I understand that as a call that I have, I got to watch over these children that God has blessed me with, and you just can't let them spend the night anywhere and stay anywhere. Authority that's given to him by people that said they were in authority but really weren't. Thank you, Lord. That's how Jezebel was moving coincidentally in Kings, and she's acting like she was in the bleak position of leadership when she wasn't. Writing letters. Please say amen. Writing letters out, trying to get other people to do things in the name of the king when she had no authority. Thank you, Lord. So Saul is moving under leadership that's acting like leadership, but doesn't have any spiritual endorsement. And so he's following and doing this work as unto the Lord, but God was not pleased with the work that he was doing. So it matters now who you're under.
Amen.
Wow.
When it comes to leadership. Because what's on the pastor will be on the congregation. Y'all don't want this person. So you got to be careful with that, because when we see within the text, he was under these men, and because he was under these men, that same hatred that was on them is now on him. That blindness that was on them is now on him. He's moving with pride in his heart and his life, thinking he's doing the work of the Lord, but the Lord is not endorsing or even involved in the work that he's doing. Thank you, God. Bible said in chapter 8, he's wreaking havoc on the church. He's going door to door, picking up men, women, and children, and placing them in chains to take them to prison in Jerusalem. He's got that kind of authority, and at the same instance, he's pleased with doing the work of the Lord because this trauma has him so blinded by the work that he's doing. Thank you, Lord. The axe does not remember. But the tree never forgets when it comes to trauma. If people hope, now what might be traumatic to you might not be traumatic to me.
That's right.
But they don't make it nonetheless traumatic. He saw a murder take place, and then he got the okay from the men that took the murder, and then that shapes his whole life in terms of how he's going to see other men, and now he sees preachers. And so now he's going after men, women, and children, and he's pleased with the work that he's doing, and he's doing this work with trauma in his heart. Thank you, God. I'm in chapter 9. I'm not going to be for you long. I'm in chapter 9 now. Now Saul's in trouble. Because there's no way. Everybody say there's no way.
No way.
There's no way you can treat God's people wrong.
Come on here.
And then live right.
That's right.
There's no way that you would treat, but I don't know anybody that's doing God's people dirty living well. The Bible tells us not to touch his anointed or do his prophets no harm. Yes, it only appears at this moment that the grass is greener over there. It appears at the moment that they got it going on. It appears at the moment that things are going up and up for them. But there's no way you can put your hands or your mouth on God's people and expect to live right and live well. The Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. And every lying, y'all Bible,
every lying
tongue that lies against you. The Bible said he would condemn that because that's the heritage
of the saints. He said God takes it personal when you come after his people. And there's no way you can come after his people and then expect to pray to God after doing God's people dirty. Saul's in trouble now. Because that's where he's at. He's in trouble now. He's in trouble now. He messed up now. He realizes at some point in the road he messed up, because there's no reason why things should be happening the way they're happening if he was living right. But the fact that he was living wrong, Jesus then has to show up. Which then shows us that sometimes you can tell people to change and they will not change, even from the word that you're saying. But the Lord at times has to show up. It's not like you've been falling on deaf ears. The Bible says that one man plants and another man waters, and then God will give the increase. So it may appear at the moment they might roll their eyes when you keep telling them they need to do better. But somebody else is going to tell them what you say.
Right.
Somebody else is going to water the seed that you planted, and then it's going to be challenging to them, because life has a way of waking people up. Life has a way of challenging people and changing people. We see him on the road to Damascus, literally riding his high horse, thinking he's better than everybody else, thinking he's above everybody else. And then the Lord shows up out of heaven and knocks him off his high horse, because pride comes before the fall. And the Lord reveals to him, I got something issues with you. Saul's in trouble. Saul's in trouble now. After his travels, he's now in trouble, and Jesus shows up and calls him by name. Knows him already. Thank you, Lord. Why? Listen to what Jesus says. Why are you persecuting me?
Right.
Jesus at the right hand of the Father right now. Jesus has been gone for a minute. But what you talk about, he persecuting you. Because every time you come against the least of them, what you've done unto the least of them, you've done unto me. And every time you come against a child of God, you also got to deal with the parents of that child. I just talked to the church this morning about this. This morning, when somebody comes against your children, you know how you act when somebody comes against yours. You know how if somebody said something about your grandchild, you know how you would act if somebody said something about your grandchild. Somebody said something about your daughter, your son. You leave work early to go. Yes, you would. You would leave work early. You would call your lunch break after having a lunch break to go see what happened about your child. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus shows up because he's tired of how you treat my children. He was tired of how you treat my prophets. Tired of how you treat my ministers, my women, my men of God. He was tired of how you would treat all his people. And then Jesus had to show up on the road to Damascus as a personal experience to change him.
My God.
He fell out of his horse. He's now on his knees, and the people around him hear the voice but don't see who it is. And Saul says, Lord, who are you? Thank you, Lord. He said, I'm Jesus, the one you've been persecuting. Thank you, Lord. You've been dead for a minute. No, when you persecuted my people, you're persecuting me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He then asked him, why are you kicking against the pricks? The translation I had was goads. He was referring to a stick that had an instrument at the end, have a point at the end. He was saying that you're coming against God's people, but you're only hurting yourself.
Right.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Right.
Don't you know that everything that you throw at a child of God is going to come back at you? Didn't you read the story when it came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were treated when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and then the same people that threw them in were consumed by the fire? Didn't the same thing happen to Daniel when you try to throw Daniel in the lion's den, and all of a sudden the same thing happened to the people's family? They threw them in the lion's den, because what you try to do to God's people ultimately ends up falling on you. The trap that you set for a child of God, you end up falling in. The cursing words that you end up giving to a child of God end up coming back to your house. The Bible tells us we can't curse what God has blessed. Thank you, God. That once God has put his hand on you and decided to bless you, that even when they try to curse you, they can't curse you. Even when they try to come against you, they can't come against you. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will even make his enemies be at peace with him. They will turn around and have to apologize to you, have to make things right with you. Because except you talk to God, how you did a child of God wrong, things aren't going to work out for you. I can't believe. Listen, I can't believe that people would try to do one of God's people dirty. And then pray to God. And said, God will answer that prayer. After you did his child. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
My God.
He was blind. He was blind.
My God!
And because he was spiritually blind, kicking against the bricks, he's coming against God's feet. He's bringing humiliation upon himself. He's bringing strife upon himself. He's brought this on himself. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
What does the Lord do? He takes his sight from him. He was already spiritually blind.
Right.
And now he's naturally blind. But then he gives him a glimpse of what heaven, what Calvary was like anyway. And Jesus was 3 days in darkness. And now and when it comes to Saul, he's got to experience 3 days in darkness as well. And don't you know that now that Saul's in trouble, well, you know what Saul's doing? I didn't have to say nothing. You know he's praying now. Because the stuff that he was doing before didn't require any prayer. It was just requiring letters.
Right,
it was just requiring some endorsement. But now you're in trouble now after your travels. After you're still dealing with trauma. Now you're dealing with blindness. Now you need to pray. Now you want to talk to God. Yeah.
Now
you want to talk to God. Now you feel like you got to get in contact with the Lord.
Now.
And the Lord in his generosity.
Come on.
Speaks to a man named Ananias.
Yeah.
Ananias said, I need you to go and lay hands on Saul because he's blind.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Ananias said, who? Saul who? It's not really phrased that way. But in the text, he knows who Saul is. So he's talking to the Lord about, I'm supposed to lay hands on him. He's been trying to lay his hands literally on me for a minute now. You mean to tell me I got to go and lay hands on him so that he would receive his sight? Because what it happens now is because now you're in trouble. You're going to need the people that you thought you didn't need before. You got to see the same people that you did wrong. Now you need them to lay hands on you. Now you need them to get a cup of soup for you. Now you need them to get some water for you. Now God's got a way of turning the table. He said, the last shall be first. And the first. Yes. Now, Ananias, of course, is in negotiation with the Lord.
Yeah.
I know who he is. And then he wants to give the Lord, as if God don't know. He wants to give God, Saul's resume. You know this man has been going throughout the city. They've been giving him authority. He's knocking up with men, women, and children. As if God don't know that already. But he's trying to get out of his position now too. He don't want to lay hands on. Let the man stay in darkness.
My God.
The Lord has to then
check
Ananias. Because if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. And he had to talk to Ananias. He said, Ananias, you need to slow your roll because I got an assignment for Saul. And you're part of this assignment. You got to lay hands on him. And that he might receive his sight. And he's going to know what he's got to deal with now because he's going to be a part of the home team now. There's some things he's got to suffer in my name's sake. So what he's saying then is I'm going to invite you over to the other team, but you still got to pay for what you did. You still got to pay for what you did. I'm going to change things around for you. You're affected now by a chain, but you still got to pay the debt that you owe because you came against God's people, and we got to make this thing right before we.
Come on in, preacher. Come on in. It's too much.
He's now headed to Ananias. Ananias now headed Saul to where he's at. Been sitting in darkness for 3 days.
Wow.
Comes into the house and then calls him Brother Saul.
Brother.
He wouldn't brother a few scriptures.
No.
But now, because Ananias has been talking to God and realized he can't negotiate with God, that he's still got to do what God has called him to do, that he's got to be the example that Saul needs at this moment, and that because the Lord has called him son, you also then got to call him brother. So once you see him, I want you to lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. He's been in darkness too long, and I need your help with this. And the moment he comes to the door, Ananias says, Brother Saul. Because the Lord has received you, I should also receive you. Because I know about your past, and at the same time, I'm not going to hold your past against you. Because if God has forgiven you, I also forgive you too. And I have a work for you to do. And God has an assignment on your life. And I just got to lay hands on you and help you be restored. Because there's a work and there's some things you got to walk out. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Ananias then comes in and lays hands on him. And the Bible said that Saul receives his sight. Scales fall off his eyes. Amen. Thank you, God. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Blind.
Yes. There is an amazing grace. Amen. Saul's not supposed to be deserving no grace. But who am I to say that? Because when we look at his life, because we all need some grace at some point. Yes, we do. Because now after Saul has been in trouble, Saul has a turnaround. Now things are turning around in his life now. Now he's connected with new people. Now somebody else is laying hands on him after the other people laid hands on him. Now he's got a new identity in Christ. Now old things have passed away and all things have been made new. Now it's like they're breaking bread together and sitting down and having fellowship with one another. And now he's got a work to do and assignment. And now Ananias is depositing in him what the others trying to put in him. Now he's got to pull out of him what he's been in traumatic stuff he's been carrying for years. And now he's getting a fresh dose of who Jesus is. And now who's the best to talk about grace other than somebody that's been recipient of grace? Turning, see, things are turning around for me, things. Come on, say things are turning around for me. We talked about Saul before. What about you? You done traveled a little bit. You done dealt with some trauma too. You done dealt with some trouble too. But now your time to turn. It's time for a change. It's time to put old things away. It's time to move on and let some things pass away. And leave some stuff behind. Leave some old ideas behind. Leave some old people behind. Leave some old ideas behind. Leave some old ways of doing things. After trouble, there's always going to be a turnaround. After trouble, there's going to be a turnaround. Now, who he is? He's the apostle to the Gentile.
Right.
The same people he went to persecute, now he's got to deposit in them. The same churches he tried to wreck, now he's got to keep them together. The same people that he said were no good, he's now got to lay hands on them. Because God has put him in a position of leadership to make sure this church remains intact. Ananias lays hands on you, because it matters who lays hands on you. It matters.
So do.
Ananias laid hands on him. The Bible said, let no man lay hands on you suddenly. After Ananias lays hands on him, he receives his sight, sits down and breaks bread with him, has fellowship with him, and lets him know and ministers to him where he is. And then of course, there's got to be conversation. You know, because you know when somebody does wrong and then all of a sudden things change, they got to apologize. You know, I was going through the city looking for you. I was going through the city with every house looking for you. And now you done lay hands on me. And I just want to say I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. And if we're going to keep it a buck, then Ananias has to say I'm sorry too. Because you know at first, Ananias didn't want to lay hands on the brother. So I didn't really want to help you out for real, but the Lord told me I got. Yes. When things turn around. Because things will turn around. Things will. Has anybody seen
this house in its former condition. The latter house shall be greater than the former. It's time for a change. The Lord's going to do something fresh and something new in the latter house.
Thank you, God.
We don't disregard what got us here.
That's right. That's
we appreciate what got us here. Wow. But we owe it to them that helped us get here to go even further. Thank you, Lord. So we got to go higher in the names of God. We got to be consistent in the names of God. We got to continue to go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Saul has to go through some trials. You know what he said at the end? He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Thank you, Lord. This Saul could not leave the earth now.
Come on.
Until the Lord allowed him to
leave. Come on, that's it. Amen.
They tried to shipwreck him. They tried to stone him. They tried to whip him. Even more lashes than Jesus. Poison at some time or another. But at the same time, snakes out of nowhere come out of the fire to bite him.
Right.
But now, he's moving with anointing now. Before he was moving in man's purpose. Now he's moving in God's purpose. Man's purpose will have you killed. But when you're moving in God's purpose, touch not my anointing. Do my prophets know. Things have now turned around for him. Now he's no longer an outcast or an outsider. Now he's a part of the first family of faith now. When it comes to erecting and keeping churches together. Well, he went through some stuff. And we all go through some stuff.
Right.
And then we have to be affected by that change.
Yes.
It's one thing for the light to shine, because the light shone on not just on Saul at that moment. There was other people around him.
Yes, it was.
But it didn't say they changed.
And didn't get it.
But he did. So some people may go through the same moments.
Right.
But no change.
No change.
But Saul took the opportunity.
That's right.
And he received the finished work, what was happening with Jesus Christ, and then the Lord changed him. He got his sight back. Because you know, sitting in doctors for a while will make you appreciate God. Yes. Yes. The first person he sees is the first person after opening his eyes. The first person he sees is the person he was supposed to persecute.
My God.
And he needs that person. That person laid hands on him. Thank you, Lord. Though, let's close with this thought. Those that are spiritual, restore one.
Such a one.
That is fallen.
Yeah.
Ananias was wrestling with it at first. This is Saul's story, but Ananias, he was wrestling with it at first. But because the Lord has decided to raise this man up, I'm not going to get in the way. I'm going to do my part.
Wow.
Lay hands on him. And restore one that has fallen.
Wow. That's right.
Did you know that even after, I'm done. Did you know that even after he's been restored, now some people in the church don't like him?
Did you know that
even after he was restored, there were some people that would not walk with him?
Right!
Even after he was restored, that it was designed that the Lord had put a call on his life. He literally is an apostle because he literally saw a light and hear the voice of Jesus, gives him the apostolic mandate of who he is, and then all of a sudden those same brothers that are in the same position don't like him. You got to do your work as unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you have to be a recipient of grace, then you shouldn't be nasty to other people. Don't just think for a minute.
told you I'm done. But don't just think for a minute somebody can't be restored, because he restored all of us.
Amen.
And the same blood that worked for you is going to work for somebody else. The same grace that's on you, the same mercy that's on you, is going to work for somebody else. But you then got to step out of the way of God's work and let God do what he's called to do. Because when God turns the things around, gonna make all things new. He's gonna make all things new.
Yeah.
Everybody stand to your feet if you can. I kept you long, didn't I? I kept you long.
No, you didn't.
Thank you.
Still no, he didn't. Still words. All right, promise to know bad.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I sense...